Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline here, talk with Tom DeAngelo, who covers the Miami Heat for the Palm Beach Post. I said earlier in the show, I think the worst thing about South Florida is the New Yorkers. And I'm talking about stuff that's uniquely South Florida, right? Because you said property taxes, but that's bad in a lot of places. Yeah. What are some of the other things on our list there, Falero? Things that are bad. If we're making a Mount Rushmore, things that are bad about South Florida, because I maintain this is the best place in the country to live.
And a lot of people say traffic, but there's traffic everywhere.
Everywhere.
Trust me, Atlanta traffic is terrible.
Los Angeles traffic is brutal. So what are some of the things people have texted in?
Bugs.
See, bugs, mosquitoes, and palmetto bugs. We're putting them in one category. Those palmetto bugs, I don't think you get those anywhere else. Mm-mm. And those are just terrible.
Hurricane season.
Although, you do get that all up the East Coast, so that might not be.
Not as like drastic.
Not as.
It's always Florida.
Yeah.
Florida
and
Texas.
The West Coast.
That's true, too.
Old Irma was about to wrap around and bust Tampa in the head.
Yep. What else we got on the list?
We got living underwater in a couple of years.
That's true. That's uniquely South Florida. We're all going to be underwater. Do you have a snorkel?
Hope the mermaids come.
Anything else?
Sports talk radio.
Oh, yeah. That's got to be on the Mount Rushmore.
I mean, and somebody said Zika as well, but I think that's bugs as well.
Zika's does that fall
disease.
Under? Yeah, I don't think that. I mean,
it's from a bug.
It's transmitted by bugs. But
then that's like saying I don't like syphilis, but I do like sex.
I don't know if Crowder's arguing for my side or against there.
I don't like syphilis, but you get syphilis through sex. But
you don't like bugs or Zika, so I'm not certain.
I know, but the transmission of it is not a problem. Zika's a disease. It's not the bug. It's the disease.
So you're with me that it's a different category? Again,
I'm on my own side.
All right. Tom DeAngelo covers the Miami Heat for the Palm Beach Post. Now, would you agree, tonight at the American Airlines Arena, it's going to be replete with people from Far Rockaway like this telling you about what's great about New York, and I'm here to see a Knicks game. And I'm like, no, you're here to see a Heat game.
You're talking about Bostonian. I'm with you.
Oh, yeah, so you hate New Yorkers.
I'm with you. Hey, look, is there a worse sports a worse city to be a sports fan in than New York right now? Think about this. Except for the Yankees, they are god-awful, every other team. The Islanders, the Rangers, the Mets, the Nets, and the Knicks.
But I think that's pretty universal as well. Like, I think you could pick a lot of cities where it's just slim pickings when it comes to sports.
I'll tell you, for that market, the amount of teams they have to have one decent team that you know, and this team 2 years ago didn't even make the playoffs, the Yankees, but to have one decent team, that's pretty tough sledding right now for the New York sports fan. But that's okay with me, because you're right, you will get in here tonight and they will be out there in their orange and blue, acting like they're, you know, three games away from winning the conference championship or something.
Let me tell you my Willis Reed story. This is better than anything you've ever experienced down here. Yeah, and just it's like, you know, they tell you how great New York is all the time, and it's like, well, okay, go back there.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot. I mean, and again, granted, the Yankees' history is right up there with anybody else's, any other team in the history of sports. But you take that away, and where are these championships? Where's the Knicks' last championship? Where's the Nets' championship? Where's the Rangers' last championship? I think the Islanders had a good run. The Jets and the Giants. The Giants had two. The Giants are probably next. But that, you know, it's really everything is overinflated and bigger from New York. So, that's the way it will always be. That's where we have to we have to live with that. But I just love when these Knicks fans act like they've been to the finals the last 8 years.
Yeah, their bleep doesn't stink. I didn't know you were a Bostonian. Are you going to go see the Marlins Red Sox games? They got two games here at Marlins Park.
I'll probably be busy with. I have not planned on it. I'm not even sure when they are. I'm so focused in where I'm going to be in the next month and where I'm going to be traveling for the playoffs.
Did you know the Marlins open their season next Thursday, a week from tomorrow?
I did not. I knew it was next week. You couldn't have told me what day it was. And I do know they open with the Cubs, right?
Yeah.
And it comes to Red Sox because I remember thinking that after the Cubs and the Red Sox are in, they're going to average about 300 people a game.
Yeah, it's going to be there's going to be quite the attendance drop off after the first six games.
Yes, yes. I think the Yankees come in at some point too. Don't they play the Yankees home? You take away those Cubs, Yankees, and Red Sox. If the Yankees do come in, then you'll see. Yeah, there'll be about 287 people, and that's counting the ushers.
Tom DeAngelo, he covers the Heat for the Palm Beach Post. Heat and Knicks tonight. Heat right now, 7 seed. They would match up with Boston if the playoffs started today. Let's say you have your dream scenario of what can actually happen with the Miami Heat. You know, you can't go, I want them to be a 2 seed. Like, of what you think realistically could happen. And I guess there's the possibility they could end up a 4 seed, right, and have some home.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at 4, 5, and 6, all have 30 losses, you know, so Heat have 33. So, yes, let's put it this way. I don't think they can pass. I don't think they have any chance of catching Philadelphia because of Philadelphia's schedule. But because of the pace, and I don't think they're going to catch the Wizards. But I think the Pacers have a tough schedule, and the Bucks have a tough schedule. Could they move up a spot or two? Yes. I think realistically, we're looking at 7. If they go on a run, I mean, we have 11 games win. If they win 8 of them, yeah, they're going to be fighting for a home. They're going to be fighting for 4 or 5. That would be ideal to avoid Boston, Toronto, or Cleveland in the first round. That would be ideal. But if you're looking at what probably going to happen, and you had your choice between 6, 7, and 8, or you had your choice if you could pick your opponent, and it had to be one of the three, Toronto, Boston, Cleveland, I think Boston right now, because of the way, the Celtics are, they're banged up. And they, you know, look at the team they've been putting out the court the last few games, and Marcus Smart's not coming back. And, you know, the whole thing depends on Kyrie Irving. And, you know, it's very mysterious the way they're talking about his injury, and that would be absolutely huge. Then they'd be beatable, obviously, because they're not moving. Whether Kyrie Irving comes back or not, Cleveland's not catching them, and they're not catching Toronto. So they're pretty much entrenched in number 2. So if the Heat stay at 7, and I believe that they will finish ahead of Milwaukee. I don't think they're going to go any lower than 7. You know, like I said, the possibility could move up, but if they stay at 7 and they get Boston, that's probably the best situation for them if it's going to be either Toronto, Boston, or Cleveland.
And is Toronto good? They're number 1, but nobody talks about them, Tom.
I know they are. When you look at these records and see that they've got 18 losses, and the best, and that's tied for second in the league. You know, Golden State has 18 losses. Yeah, I guess they are. I guess so. I mean, that they have. DeMar DeRozan's been playing. Obviously he's an all-star. They have an all-star backcourt, and their front line is just they. They have a bench this year. They're big up front. They're going to be tough. I tell you, I never believed until the last couple of weeks that they had a chance to get to the finals. But they have as good a chance now to get to the finals as anybody. And I'd say if I had to put money on it, I would say yeah, I'd bet on them because I don't think Cleveland's going to turn it around in the playoffs. And again, the Celtics' health really scares me. So they're in they're positioned best right now going into the playoffs in the Eastern Conference.
And Tom, with the Cavs and Tyronn Lue getting sick or something with his health, is that going to affect them? Like, did that change the outcome of their season, losing Tyronn Lue?
I don't think as much as they just can't play defense is going to affect them. I think
that ain't Tyronn Lue.
A lot more. You know, I don't think Tyronn Lue getting back is going to help their defense. We've seen them under Tyronn Lue for the last all season, and hasn't changed. Even when they got that little bump when they made it at the trade deadline and bringing in all these players. And, you know, at first it was like, it was funny because all of a sudden, you know, Rodney Hood and Larry Nance and all these guys, they were the saviors. Like, you know, and George Hill, these guys are going to get over the hump. You know, it turned out that, man, they're not a whole lot different. So I think they're in deep trouble now. Kevin Love coming back is going to be that. Now that's going to help. With Kevin Love being on the bench and playing in uniform is going to help a lot more. And it seems like he's going to be. You know, it's good timing. He's got a month or so. He's got to get ready and get back to getting in rhythm and learning these teammates. Remember, he came back. He hadn't played with any of these guys all year because he's been out since before the trade deadline. So that's going to be a big help, and that's going to give him a little boost and a little push in the playoffs. But I don't know if the coaching situation is going to be much different. And it sounds like Tyron would be back at some point before the playoffs. So I'm not sure that's going to affect anything, but they're certainly going to have to play a little bit of defense if they want to go somewhere in these playoffs.
Tom DeAngelo from the Palm Beach Post is with us. When it comes to the Heat's chances in the playoffs, though, if they want to, say, advance to the second round, who's the guy? I think we saw him on Monday night. Who's the guy that needs to break out?
Well, that would be huge. If this is the James Johnson going forward and he's becoming – and he comes anything close to what we saw the last half of last season, this is a different team. That is big. I mean, you've got another – go to another playmaker, another versatile guy. If he gets that confidence and you can put the ball in his hands whenever you want, now it, you know, and assuming Dwayne's going to be healthy, which it seems he's close. My gut feeling is they're just making sure where they're pretty much secure getting in now. They're just making sure and get Dwayne 100% healthy. That would be such a boost for this team if James picks now to start playing like he did last year. I'll tell you another thing, and everybody bangs on him, and it's easy to when he's not the most popular guy with the fans, but they need Hassan and they need that last line of defense for the playoffs. Playoffs become, these games get mucked up and they slow down, and you know the Heat are averaging 115 points since the All-Star break. They're not going to average 115 points during the playoffs. The games just become more half court, and he'll be important to get him healthy too, and get last line of defense and get not so much the offense, not the offense at all, but just getting him. And if he's right and he can play and he rebounds and plays defense and blocks shots like the Heat believe he can, that would be a huge boost too. So you get those two guys playing at their max, they would be a very tough out.
Hey, Tom, Riley turned 73 yesterday. Doesn't look like it. He must exfoliate or whatever that crap's called because he looks amazing. But how long realistically can he do this? And who's going to replace him when he does step down?
That's a good question. The first one, I think we've got a couple of years. I think this summer, last summer was important. Didn't get Gordon Hayward, but they went to Plan B and they re-signed everybody, and now I think if he can make a big move this summer and he gets a little re-energized, he's going to want to see where that can go. I think it will keep him around for a while. I think there's another couple of years anyway, and then depending at that point where they are, you know, if they're right on the cusp and they're all of a sudden on the verge, they made a couple of deals and they got another, you know, they got a couple more all-stars and they were able to start competing and, they might keep him around a little longer, but I think you get a couple of years up like 75. Who replaces him? I'll tell you, I think Shane Battier is going to be, I don't know if there's going to be one voice like Riley that's going to be the guy that's going to be, it may be kind of a group, but and I think Eric will be a big part of it. I'm not sure I see Eric not wanting to coach in the immediate future, but maybe in the long range. But they brought in Shane Battier for a reason, and he's kind of quietly in that we don't get to speak to him. He's quietly doing his thing in the analytics department up there. But I believe he's probably being groomed first for that kind of role. But I get the feeling it wouldn't be as much as a single voice like Pat's is, and there'll be a group of people at Andy Ellisberg, part of that group, that will be making decisions if and when that one day when he does step down.
Tom DeAngelo from the Palm Beach Post. Be careful of all the New Yorkers tonight at the AAA, okay?
I will stay out of their way, and I purposely did not wear my orange today. So
yeah, and don't get into a conversation with them about the pizza. They'll go, oh, the pizza's so much better in Far Rockaway because of the water. Oh, do I hate that. No pizza conversation, Tom.
No pizza conversation. No pizza. I can't say the word forget about it.
You call this a hot dog? This ain't a hot dog. The only good hot dogs are in Bed-Stuy. Huh? All right. Thank you, Tom.
All right, guys. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Tom DeAngelo from the Palm Beach Post.
Something is wrong with you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.